Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Wow, it's so good to have you in church this morning. So great. How good has it been so far? Celebrating Dream Team this morning and seeing all the great things. And in the few minutes that I've got, I just want to talk about the power of team today. We're celebrating. We've got Renelle and Morris. That was such an awesome couple serving. How good is that? I just love the culture of serving and service that we have in the life of our church. It's something that means so much to me, and I know it does to you. And this morning, I just want to talk about God's dream team. Turn to the person beside you and tell them, I'm on God's dream team. Go and tell them you mean it. I'm on God's dream team. Better get my dream glasses on then if I'm going to talk about dream team. Yeah, please do. Fantastic. Here's my conviction. That you were designed by God for an individual purpose. Absolutely, that's a given. You were designed uniquely and intimately by Almighty God. But God wants you to know this morning that He also created you, not just it with individual purpose, but for a collective purpose. He designed you for a collective purpose, and I believe that that purpose is team. You know, God's got a dream in His heart and He calls it the church. And that's always been His dream. That's always been His intention, that He'd have a group of people that would be set apart for Him, called by name, drawn out and separated. And that is the church. That is His dream. That is His central focus, is that He would have a group of people which He calls His church. And that's also, He also calls it the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and we know that it's not the body of C3, it's not the body of any other denomination, but it is His church and it is His body. And I love that idea. If you think about for a moment, Jesus, his primary purpose was He came to redeem mankind back to God. Aren't you glad that you're redeemed this morning? I never want to get up and get used to the idea that I'm comfortable with that. I just feel God's love saying, I'm so blessed. We're so cherish salvation, you know. And He came to redeem mankind. He came to take you who were afar off and bring you near to God, bring you near through Jesus Christ. That's what He did for you. And you may be here this morning and you've never found a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't realize that He died for you. Like he was thinking of you when his body was broken on the cross and He was pouring His blood at it as a sacrifice. He did that for you. Like he saw through the channel of time and He saw you. And at the end of this service, if you've never made a decision to have an encounter with Jesus, or maybe you here this morning and you feel a million miles away from God, at the end of this meeting, I want to give you the most important invitation, the opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm going to do that at the end of the service. But Jesus comes and He dies for all mankind, and then God powerfully raises Him up. He resurrects from the dead. And then after that, He gets His disciples together and He says, now here's the plan. Here's the mission. I'm going to create a thing called the church. And He empowers them and He says, I want you to wait a couple of weeks' time. The Holy Spirit is going to show up and you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, the church is going to be birthed. And that's exactly what happened. The disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit. There's about 120 of them in an upper room. And the church is birthed. God's dream starts. The redemption of man begins to kick in. And now He says to us, I want your individual purpose to align with my collective purpose on planet Earth, which is the church. Isn't that good news this morning? It's great news. So He wants to do that. Remember, He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. We are a part of the most powerful movement on planet Earth. You need to know that today. This is not some kind of club. We're not doing some kind of theory, some kind of religion. We're seeing God's plan and His purpose outwork on Earth through His church. Now, what I love about that is, you know, God never, He never builds His church on individuals. Have you noticed that? He doesn't build it on, you know, Pastor Wendy and Pastor Andrew or the senior leaders. He never builds it on individuals. He always builds it on team. He always builds it on a group of people coming together, having one heart and one mind. As a result of that, he can do amazing things. In other words, God's looking for you today to partner with him. He actually wants you to partner with him. He's designed every single person here to partner with him, but through team. Well, what's the individual's response? As an individual, you say, well, how should I respond to what you're saying, Tony? It's pretty simple. You just say, God, here are my gifts. Here are my talents. Here is my time. Here's my abilities. Where do you want me to serve? Like, where would you like me to serve and be part of a team? Yesterday, I was at my brother-in-law's house, Tim and his wife, Nat, and he's just bought a house and they're doing a huge renovation. And I got there and they were tearing stuff down and walls down and skirting, and we were ripping up carpets, and it was pretty cool. Who likes smashing and wrecking stuff? Is there anybody that just likes, you like you can destroy stuff and not get into trouble for it, right? It's so cool. And anyway, so it was working away, and I was there for a couple of hours, and the coolest thing was to see all of Tim's family and some of his mates come around. And as soon as they got there, this was the coolest part. They didn't go, well, Tim, I'm here to just sweep. I don't do cupboards. I don't do curtains. I don't do lawns. I don't do pathways. I just do, you know, the sink. It's like, as soon as they got there, they just went like this. What do you want me to do? How can I help? How can I serve? And it just began them particular place to see. That's the heart of the collective purpose, isn't it? Amen. It's where do you want me? Well, where's the need? How can I jump in? And I'm not giving you a preference. I'm not giving you an agenda. I'm just going, hey, here's what I have. How can I be a blessing to the house of God? Amen. How can I add true value? So let me just make the distinction between individual purpose and the power of the collective purpose. If you've got your Bibles there for a moment, why don't you turn with me to Genesis 11. It's an amazing story about a tower, really, called the Tower of Babel, or some would say the Tower of Babylon. Now we're going to pick it up from verse 1, and it says, Genesis 11, verse 1, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come let us, that's right, build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now watch this. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, man, I love this, the people are one. They all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now notice this. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. The power of one. The purpose of a team. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Here's my point. Purpose a team. We accomplish little individually, but much collectively. You agree? We can do some stuff on our own, but God, when we get that one voice and that sense of unity and that sense of one heart, and I realize I'm playing an important part of the team. See, I don't want to understate the purpose or the importance of the individual. Individually, you have a unique sound, but together we have one voice. That was quite good. I'm just going to say that again in case you missed it. Individually, you have a unique sound, but together we have one voice. A couple of years ago, I took Maddie, my wife, I thought it was time to get cultured. You know, I'm sort of lacking in the culture area. So I went to the opera, took my wife to the opera. And I was really looking forward to it. I'd never been to the opera before. And so we got there, and there was a couple of small details that I'd overlooked when I went to the opera. The first one is, it's in Italian. I don't speak any Italian, right? I can maybe do an Italian accent, but I couldn't understand a word that they were saying. In fact, that was the second problem. The second problem was that in the opera, they don't actually say anything. The whole thing is sung. It's all in music. To even from the tiniest detail to like the most important crescendo. So even things like, I'm going to get some bread. It's like, okay, I'm going to get a drink of water. It was like, really? Can we just have a bit of dialogue? I have to confess, I lasted like half the show and I'm like, do you want to go get Macca's? Yep, go get Macca's. So it's like, there's no culture. It's like, my point being is, you know, you'd listen to this soprano and it was breathtaking. It was like, it was so magnificent. I thought that is like heaven on earth. But then you'd hear the collective. You'd hear the song of all of these amazing trained voices at once. And I tell you what, it was absolutely magical. You have a unique voice, but I tell you what, a unique sound, but together we have one voice. You know what I find, church? When God works with ones and twos, he adds. When he works with team, he multiplies. There's an addition, that is a realm of addition that we can work in. But I know this, God is always into multiplication. And when you and I get together and we begin to sing from one song, one voice, one heart, amazing things begin to happen. What's our voice? What's our language? Just like the people that created the Tower of Babel. Well, for us, it's the theme for the year. It's for the one. That's our language, for the one. How do I make a difference? How do I reach out into somebody's life? That's the language and the heartbeat of our church. You know, joining a group in the life of our church, our theme is connect, care, grow. That's the language of our heart. It's like connect regularly, hang out, look after each other, care for one another, and grow spiritually. That's the language and the heartbeat of our church. So when you realize that the power of team as a collective purpose is exponentially far more powerful than the individual, then what's my role? What's my position and what's the power of team? Well, why don't you jump to Ephesians 4:16 with me? Ephesians 4:16. I'm just going to read a verse from the NIV. I love this. It articulates this so well. It says, from him, that's Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How? As each part does its work. Did you know that you are the stitching of this church? Each of you is like a stitching, and you begin to sew the seam of the life of our church together. And it says there, I love this, because it says, as you supply your part, you actually strengthen somebody else's joint or sinew or muscle. You become the supply line for them. You become the source of blessing for them, because it says every part. Notice in the end it says each part does its work, but the first four words is from him, the whole body. Not just some of the body, but everybody in this place. You are a supply line for someone else to truly make a difference. Therefore, the individual purpose now is knitted and sewn together with the greater sense of team. Now, I want to try and illustrate this for you this morning, if I can. I hope this goes well, because it was really good in my mind when I was preparing for it. So I want to do it. Can I do a demonstration with you? Is that okay? Don't worry, I'm not going to do interpretive dance. That's next Sunday. I know. Nick, can I get you to come up on stage? Because we've got a lot of people here this morning. So do you want to come up on stage? Donna, you can come up on stage too. Can I get Vanessa and John? Sam, can you come up as well? Come up on the stage. 1, 2, 3, 4. Paul, can you come up? Laura, can you come up as well? Come on, give them a hand as they come up, because it's like they have no idea what's about to happen. Okay, all right. All right, fantastic. Now, I want to try and show you this. Let me just move this out of the way. Okay. Now, I want you to see this. So, Nick, if you want to step forward, you're my guinea pig again. Okay, do you guys want to go just like a meter apart, like an arm's length apart, and just spread it across the stage for me? Okay. Now, what's the power of team? So let's just say Nick comes along to church for the very first time, and she's heard about it. She brings a couple of kids. Hubby couldn't get there for whatever reason, and she comes to an event. Okay? Oh, sorry. So you're earning the coin, man. You're earning the coin. Right. So what happens is she drives into the car park, and for the event, you know our amazing ushers, the car park guys, and they get people in the right positions. So, Laura, you're the usher dude-ess. Yeah. Okay. So she's got the wand, you know, So Nick comes in, first time, never been here, and she's greeted with a smile. Okay, drive, yes, right? Small thing, big thing, really big thing, okay? And so she ushers her into the visitor car park spot, which is fantastic. She continues along, and she comes into the foyer, and she meets our amazing Next Steps person. So Paul, you can just pretend to be Next Step. Oh, you got the T-shirt as well, right? He's warm, he's friendly. He says, hey, I noticed you've got a couple of kids here. You know, we've got a kids program, right? And she says, yeah, I know, but I don't know where it is. No problem. Takes Nick, takes the kids, goes up the other end to our amazing kids program. The kids are a little bit tentative. John's now part of the kids program, by the way, everybody. Right. So he's on kids, right? He's on kids, serving on kids. And so he meets John, and then he pulls a couple of kids leaders and maybe some kids. They welcome them there. And it's like, Mom, the kids are going to be fine. You go have an awesome time, right? So she comes into the service. She starts to hear the worship, right? And she starts to feel the presence of God. And that thing that was gnawing on the inside of her, it starts to go. She starts to feel, behave. She starts to feel a little bit of peace on the inside. So the worship begins to touch her heart. Then she gets an amazing message by our preacher, yeah, which is Vanessa, okay? And so now God starts to talk to her. Behave. God starts to talk to her. She starts to get some direction. She starts to get some peace. Small thing, big thing. At the end of the service, we go along, and then our amazing next steps, cafe person Sam, okay? She sits down. They start to hear the story. And then, of course, Jono, he's in the cafe, so he makes the most amazing tea. It's tea. It's not coffee for Nick. It's tea. They swap phone numbers. It's okay. They're married. It's all good, right? Right. He's never made you a cup of tea. God just... No, now watch this. So he's going, I just make the coffee, okay? I just make the coffee. Now watch this. Each of these people, they may see what they do just through a narrow lens and says, I'm just the car park person. I'm just on kids roster. I just make the coffee. I just play the guitar. And that's how we can sometimes see us serving on a roster. But notice what happens. So Nick, if you want to come back up here, can everyone get in a circle around her, please? Circle around her. That's it. Holding hands, singing Kumbaya. Now, I just want everyone to just put your hand up like a high five. Right? Now, not yet. Yep. Now watch what happens. You see yourself as just serving on a roster, right? But this is what I call the circle of impact. And the circle of impact is what I call the power of the collective experience. You see, I make coffee, but Nick, she sees it. So if you just want to start to turn around, she's now feeling, right, the purpose of God. She's now being impacted continually at each touch point by which she feels loved, accepted, empowered. Behave yourselves. This is not working. Right? Blessed by the power of God. Okay, you can stop the high fives. There's too much love here. Right? But I want you to see that. She now feels a whole experience that impacts her. It impacts her kids. Right? You think about her children. Now, her children went to the kids program. You may say, I'm just on kids roster. Did you know that you've been part of creating and fostering an environment whereby seeds of purpose are now placed into her kids' lives? And get this, in 10 years' time, they're our youth leaders. In 15 years' time, they're our pastors, because you were part of a team that didn't do anything in isolation. You're part of a team that was create purpose and destiny for her kids. But it was the whole experience. I mean, look at amazing Pastor Chris in the front row. He's been in this church forever. He was a kid in the kids program. Now he's our youth and young adults leaders pastor, right? It's because somebody served on the kids program, which created an environment for him to have his destiny start to be unlocked. None of what you do, church, happens in isolation. You're not just pouring the coffee. Please hear me. You're creating a holistic experience for her and her kids and her hubby. And guess what she'll do? She'll now find purpose in the life of our church. She'll now find destiny in the life of our church. And you know what she'll do? She'll go out and bring her friends and say, you've got to be part of this thing. And it wasn't because of anything individually. It was the power of the collective experience that brought destiny into her life. Amen. Come on, give us a shout. Thank you, guys. Whew. Naughty volunteers. Thanks, John. So, thank you. I don't ever want you to think I'm just doing this. In fact, can I do a language exchange this morning as I come to a close? And it's simply this. It's, I don't want you to ever say I'm serving on roster. I want you to say I'm ministering in the house. You're actually ministering in the house. I'm not just filling a gap. Turn to the person beside you and say, I'm ministering in the house. Go and tell them, I'm ministering in the house as the musicians come. That's what you're doing. The power that you build each other up in love, Ephesians 4, and it says, now you supply. You supply the, I love what Mara said, the smile or the embrace or the word of encouragement. And I'm absolutely convinced everybody in this place with an earshot of me this morning, God has you to be a supply line on a team serving somewhere amazing. We had a whole heap of the list of, I don't know if we can get that back up again this morning as I finish, but it's like there's a place for you in the house of God. Your individual purpose can align with the collective purpose of God to create that supply line this morning. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.